More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. Well, since it's Halloween, what better way to get into the season than by reading a book about a vampire with a bit of a twist? We're lucky enough to have Jenna Levine, author of the novel My Roommate is a Vampire, joining us today to talk about her new book, which is already a USA Today bestseller, and it was September's Indie's Next Pick. Jenna, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So let's just start with the basics. Give us a brief description of this book.
So the really fabulous thing about this book, I think, is that the title functions really well as a summary.
right?
So, no hiding the ball here. So it follows the story of Cassie, who's a early 30s sort of struggling artist in Chicago. And she gets one eviction notice too many, and goes seeking an apartment that she can afford. Her friend finds a listing for a room in a beautiful, brownstone apartment for $200. And
what?
She's like, there's probably a catch, but I definitely need to check this out. And she finds the person who put the ad, named Frederick, is definitely peculiar, but he's also, as often happens in these books, he's also very handsome.
Of course.
And she's like, all right, $200, I'll give it a try. But Frederick has a really big secret. And I won't spoil readers.
Right.
Sharing what that secret is, but the title, I think, does provide insight into what the secret is. So,
okay.
Hijinks ensue, and maybe they'll get a happily ever after.
So how did you come up with this idea? Because in a lot of ways, it's almost kind of like fantasy meets reality, right?
Yeah. I got the prompt, I got the idea. I've been in online fandom spaces for a very long time, 15 years. And one of the groups I was in threw out a story idea. What would happen if, human moved in with a vampire?
and what happens? Right,
and
right.
I started thinking about it and thought this would be a wild idea for a rom-com. I've long been really fascinated. Okay, I love sort of absurdist humor. Some of my earliest memories are watching Mel Brooks movies, probably before I was old enough to really be watching them. As well as Jim Henson's Muppets. I just have always loved the silly, the very kind of broad humor that you can find in those things. And I also have always really loved romance novels and stories where people fall in love. And so I thought, wouldn't it be fun if I could try and marry all of those things together? And I do think that paranormal books, stories sort of lend themselves well to kind of offbeat humor, because, if it's a story set in reality, there's a lot of things you can't do. They're mystical creatures, you can sort of, like, anything goes sort of in a way. So it seemed like a good way to combine the things I enjoy.
Well, so here's the thing too. We should say you've gotten some amazing accolades for a debut novel, and from some well-known kind of rom-com writers like Allie Hazelwood, Ashley Poston, who I love Ashley's book, her books. And folks, we've had her on before. She wrote The Dead Romantics, The 7-Year Slip. And I mean, what's that like for you to get those kind of accolades? And when you were talking kind of about the paranormal, in a lot of ways, those are Ashley's two novels that I just mentioned. And I love that. It's so fun and it's different and it's so engaging. And I think your book does the same thing.
You know, to hear myself compared to Ashley Poston in any way is so, is so, I mean, it blows me away. Yeah, no, when I got, you know, authors who I love, like who I really look up to, I don't know, like sort of every step of the way, it was like my imposter syndrome was making it hard to sort of wrap my mind around the fact that, you know, Ashley Poston enjoyed it and wrote a lovely blurb. Trade reviewers gave it really kind words, like sort of every step of the way. I was like, me? Like, you're saying that about something I've done?
Yeah.
And that's sort of a, you know, maybe a subject to take up in more depth with my therapist. Dealing with praise is not something right. I'm good at, but it's been mind-blowing, incredible, all the big words.
So, you know, as I mentioned, this is your debut novel. Have you kind of always written, or is it something where, as you said, being in these, you know, fandom, online groups, you know, did the idea come and you thought, oh, maybe I should, you know, write a book? I mean, I'm always fascinated by this process.
So I, definitely did not think that I would always write a book. I have a very different kind of career for my day job, at least for now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been working in it for 20 years. I mean, I'm, you know, 50's not too far off for me. and I recognized I always loved creating, always loved writing, but I recognized, and I still think this was correct, that being an author, being a writer is one of the most unstable, insecure things that you can do. If you mm-hmm. also value things like getting paid.
Well, yeah.
And having sort of stable income. And I'm an incredibly risk averse person. And so from a very early age, I considered it and dismissed it as something that wasn't going to, like, I just didn't think I had the temperament to like handle the very real peaks and valleys that come with this. So mm-hmm. I went to law school.
Because that makes sense.
You know, that is still for now a very large part of my life. And about 15 years ago, I really started dabbling in, you know, fan fiction, places, you know, writing that you can post online. People can leave comments. It's usually a very supportive space, mm-hmm. not always. And I sort of viewed that as, okay, this is my outlet. I loved doing it very, very much. And so right at the very beginning of the pandemic, I was like, you know what? I'm financially, I felt like I finally had the courage to like go for it. After, you know, maybe a decade, I do think posting online sort of gave me the courage to really try. And yeah, so I just went for it. The time between when I decided to go for it with a traditional publishing contract and it actually happening was very short relative to the stories I hear from other people. And so that's kind of how I fell into this.
So with that said, I mean, here, you know, your day job, as you said, an attorney for now. So yeah. Having had, you know, this book published and it getting the accolades and the praise that it's getting, is there another book in the works? What are you thinking your next steps might look like?
So I definitely have another book coming out in October. And yeah, no, I plan to keep writing for as long as publishers are willing to entertain my ideas. The way that I balance that with other parts of my life is a work in progress.
Well, yeah, isn't that always the truth? So getting back to the book, is there, without giving any spoilers away, is there like a part in the book that you really love, or that you thought, oh my gosh, you know, I love this part of the book, or this character's attribute, something like that really kind of still sticks with you?
So my absolute favorite part of this book are all the epistolary sections. A good portion of this book and the entirety of Frederick's point of view is put across through letters, post-it note messages, to-do lists, journal entries. And I love playing around with point of view. I just think it's something that, you know, I don't think my book has an unreliable narrator, but like unreliable narrator stories are things that I really love. And so I had just the time of my life writing Frederick's point of view, the way that I did. Some of my favorite sections that I've ever written. And I also really loved writing Reginald, who is a secondary character in this book.
Yeah.
Because I felt like he was where I sort of put most of my creative impulse that involves bonkers, off the wall comedy. So I guess those would be my favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite parts to write. And I hope readers enjoy them too.
Well, and I love that, right? With kind of like the writing and all like the notes and the letters and that type of correspondence in books. Like if you do it right, I think it works so well.
Yeah. I hope I did it right. I loved doing it.
I think you did.
So. Oh, thank you.
So before I let you go, I mean, when folks pick up this book, what are you hoping that they take away from it? Because I will tell you this. I'm with you. I love a good rom-com, and I like kind of the so-called chick lit, because it's escapist. And I'll read a good heavy book once in a while, right? But like, I feel like life is heavy enough as it is, and I love a book like you just wrote. I really do. So what are you hoping that, you know, that folks get from this book?
I hope they have a great time. This book, in every way, I intended it to be escapist. I hope it makes them laugh. And I hope that when they read it, they have a really good time reading it. Those are sort of my main hopes, for sure. And if they also think that Frederick is adorable and they fall in love with him, that would also be great.
There you go.
Yes. Yep.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. It has been a real pleasure.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on. It's been wonderful chatting with you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.